It's Afternoon Jams here on 103.7 The Beat. It's always a great day when Michael Pine can make it to the studio, y'all. He's a VIP over there at Health West, the big boss. Man. I call him the big boss. He don't want that title, but you're like a de facto boss.
Only to you, Paul. And I've definitely got an expiration date.
No.
I'm old, Paul.
No.
Yeah, we're going to go to Africa together.
All right, I'm then. But retire. Yeah, but no, not soon, though.
We'll give it a few years.
Okay. All right. All right.
I got a few years left.
All right, good.
Let's see what happens.
We enjoy these moments, then.
But I brought Amy with me, so she'll
absolutely. We're going to keep them for the a boss. Few more years. We're Amy, not letting go yet.
How you doing today, Amy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Thank you. So, how do we look in Health West? Somebody stole your name. Did Michigan steal your name?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot that I've learned recently, right? Because we in 2015, I think we went down that path, and I think officially then in 2016 we changed our name to Health West,
right?
From Community Mental Health. We are the Community Mental Health, but most Community Mental Healths do business with another name, right?
Right.
And as soon as I saw that University of Michigan was going to call their operations out here, U of M Health West, I thought, man, that's going to be a lot of confusion.
Right.
And maybe we forgot to register that.
Oh. Oh,
I don't know, Paul. God.
Somebody
I don't know.
Forgot?
I don't know. but I can tell you this. We get a lot of phone calls for them, and they probably get a lot of phone calls for us.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Our clerical answers a lot of calls for them.
Wow.
It's very unfortunate.
They knew that, too. They knew. That's why they knew.
They're a little bigger than us, U of M Medical.
Yeah, but wait. In our hearts, you guys are the true real.
We're the real Health West.
Muskegon, that's all that matters, right? Muskegon
right.
County.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Let's hope.
So how are we doing? How are we doing in regards to the state of mental health in Muskegon County?
Okay. It has been since COVID, we've seen an increase in mental health needs. And I think I've said this before, too. We knew during COVID we'd see a decrease in, like, suicide and we did, but we did see an increase in like domestic violence and addiction and relapse. A lot of people struggled. Mm-hmm. And we knew that after the crush that hit the hospitals so hard with the physical illness of COVID, that once we were past the biggest threat of that, that we knew we would see an increase in needs for people with mental health. And that has come true. And I know that probably for even people who will hear this, it has been a real struggle for us to keep up with people coming through that front door.
A lot of need.
And, you know, this is what I tell my coworkers. And I know it's frustrating for the community, too. You come through the door and you want to get that help for yourself or your loved one. And it's hard when it doesn't come quick and it's challenging. And we have been overwhelmed. We've been short-staffed. We've seen a huge turnover. We were an organization that really didn't have a lot of turnover. Relative to other ones like us. And during COVID, and I mean, I heard recently the majority of our staff have been there less than 2 years.
Oh, yes. Wow. So,
and
absolutely.
We still,
that's how much it's changed.
Yeah, we still, and not only that, we've hired more people. We have 500 employees now. We were at maybe 320 when we first met.
Wow.
And so we have an increased need. And, you know, I tell our social workers and our staff that during COVID, we all remember the heroes who were going into hospitals and the lack of, you know, ventilators and space and those folks risking their lives taking care of people who had this disease, had this, you know, horrible situation. And, you know, people on Thursday nights or something in big cities, London, New York, would lean out their windows and bang on pots and pans. Thank you for going to work. We knew the crush would come to the mental health services, but we're not going to have people banging on pots and pans going, we're glad you're going in the door, right?
Wow.
If anything, it's more about complaints and rightfully so.
Right.
If you go to a health organization and you're asking for help and it can be a little bit of a struggle to get the wheels off the ground, that's hard. You wouldn't want to go to the ER and be delayed.
Exactly.
And if you come into our program, you don't want to be delayed. We're working. We have a new executive, new director. You met him, Rich.
Yes.
Francisco is there. And we're working real hard. I see some really incredibly positive things coming. We're hoping we're starting to stabilize with hiring staff. We're able to hire more. As for the state of mental health in the county, it's a real struggle. The suicide rate, sorry, I always talk about suicide. I swear I'm going to come here one day and talk about something positive with you, Paul. But We in 2022 saw the highest numbers we've ever seen, dramatically higher than what we've ever seen before. I just talked to the our medical examiner not too long ago, and it looks like the preliminary numbers for 2023 came down from 2022, but they are still dramatically higher than what they should be at. And that's only suicide. And then if we talk about deaths of despair, and we're talking about alcohol, drug-related deaths, and suicide, not just in the county but across the country, we've seen a huge increase in the Native population, Native American population, and as well a very dramatic increase in the African American population. We're now on deaths of despair, horrible name that is, right?
Right.
Have surpassed their white counterparts. You know, white folks used to have the highest level of suicide, still do. But the African American population and certainly the Native American population are surpassing even their white counterparts now. Wow. So it's a rough time for everybody. Hang in there with it all. The economy's got to turn around. When the economy gets better, we tend to see a decrease in these situations.
Wow. I tell you what, man, Mike, I travel around the world. I've been to 15 African countries, probably close to 30 countries altogether. When I mention America, they say, wow, America is paradise. Mm-hmm. If I just could wake up in America, that's a dream for probably 9 out of 10 Africans, I admit.
Yep.
If I just could wake up and be in America, if I can just experience the American life, to them, this is heaven. And if I would share that, what you just said, share this with them, they would be in disbelief. Right. They would still sign up for it, but they would be in disbelief.
Yeah. You're exactly right. It's and if you just look at the health system itself, and a lot of people, we've seen an increase in, for example, we have to translate and interpret for people. We have language needs, right? And obviously we have 6-7% Latino Hispanic population here. Right. Not that they all speak Spanish, of course, but
right.
And Vietnamese used to be one of the second most popular languages. We've had Punjabi. We've had from Somalia. I know there's like 3 or 4 languages there.
Yeah.
Haitian Creole, Russian, people coming from Ukraine. We've seen an influx of people coming here who need help. And when they learn about the American healthcare system and that you have to pay for things in the American healthcare system, they're mortified.
Yeah.
And they're terrified. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I can have an interpreter because I don't know if I can afford it. And we have, no, it's free. We're going to take care of that for you. But once they start to learn about the healthcare system in America, it's often a sad day, but you're right.
Well, another issue that deals with mental health is probably the housing crisis that probably creates tension, creates stress that can affect your mental health.
Stress.
That's where Amy comes in.
So, Amy, what do you do over there?
I am the housing specialist currently at HealthWest. I was formerly a case manager. So I see the need, and I know the need from both sides. I see the case managers' caseloads that are in the 70s, 80s. That's almost unmanageable for a person.
Wow.
And we have clients that are coming in on a daily basis or calling asking for help with housing. Do you have assistance? Do we have any funds available? We don't have any funding available. Muskegon County doesn't have any funding available currently. True North is the HARA for Muskegon County currently, and they hold that that source of funding for us.
It's grant money?
For us.
For them, True North?
Yes, they've received grants.
Mm-hmm. So they get government funding for this?
Yes, absolutely.
But even that's limited, right?
Yeah, it's very limited. And there's money that's set to be released, I believe, but they haven't released it yet. So we're just kind of waiting, and it's kind of a call True North, see if they have anything available. You know,
wow.
They don't.
Are they the only source?
No, there are other sources that you can utilize in the community. A lot of people find help with their local churches and their faith-based community. Going local can really help. We also have MOCAP, Mid-Michigan Community Action Agency.
Yeah.
We have... what are some of the other ones?
What about United Way? Is there any housing?
United Way, we work with United Way too, but there's no funding available right now. It just
is it at the wrong time of year, or is just no money? I know the physical
just
started in June.
I know a lot of it is political. It's based on who's going to, you know, approve what and when it's going to be released.
In terms of funding and grants,
yes.
I think also we're looking at a situation in Muskegon where if you can afford a nicer apartment condo, $1,200, $1,800, $2,200 a month, there's apartments available. For everybody else, there's only 99, there's like 1% of available spaces out there for people who don't fall into that category who could afford that moderate to, you know, serious need for housing.
Right.
It's just not here in Muskegon. What they're doing is building up spaces that are going to be pricey.
Right.
And so there's 99% occupancy out there for the rest of the world. So even if people came through the door and we had grant money,
yes.
Now we got to find somebody to work with.
Yes. Right. Right. And that's my toughest thing, too, is building relationships with landlords and property managers in the community and getting them to accept our clients as renters. A lot of times our renters face barriers of income. They'll ask them to have three times the monthly amount of rent and income, and they can't afford that. They're living on a very fixed income. I believe Social Security is $943 right now.
Oh, wow.
And that's low. You know, yeah. You really can't get a whole lot in Muskegon for that right now.
So what are people doing?
They're living with others. They're doubled up, couch surfing. They're staying in shelters. We have lots of people that have tent cities around Muskegon.
Wow.
You'd be surprised.
If you can put a number on the homeless.
You know, I was asking yesterday.
We were talking about that yesterday. No, and I would love to have that number. I do want to reach out and find out where we're at. We just did the PIT count in January.
Which is
a point in time
survey of providers to determine how many people do you have homeless, and it gives us kind of a number, but I don't think we quite are there yet.
Yeah. I'm not sure, you know, what that number is, but
The vacant schools here, the vacant buildings.
We've talked about that, too. I do believe at one of the last meetings that I was at, we talked about Froebel School, possibly.
Right.
But there are tons of possibilities. We just need to get the developers to buy into this.
It's all about the developers, right?
We need community buy-in.
Right.
We need support from our neighbors. It's can be a not in my neighborhood situation sometimes.
Right.
They don't want to build low income housing.
Wow.
We just need that support and that buy-in.
City of Atlanta, their mayor just did something great. He took $5 million grant, and he built 40 housings for the homeless. They took some containers.
Yes. Yep. Yeah,
and made nice container homes.
Yes.
We talked about that the whole time.
And you can get containers on for like $1,200. I've been pricing them out for my village. And so... That's a possibility.
Well, and I had heard about a program, Eden Village, that is similar to that, where it's a permanent supportive housing program where the people that live there are in tiny homes. It's an old mobile home community that was not in use anymore. They put the tiny homes in there. Now it is their tiny home community.
Right.
They pay $300 a month for rent. It's affordable. It's safe. I would bet that when I was a case manager, the majority of my clients were single adult males that were homeless.
Wow.
So if I just had, 30 tiny homes, I could, fill them probably tomorrow.
How many of those you think are probably ex-offenders?
There's quite a few.
War veterans.
We have that, too. We're dealing with the veterans and the homeless population there. We have Rachel Harden working with us. She's our veterans navigator. But the offenders, that's another issue. CSC charges, finding places that are clients that have CSC charges where they're able to stay at.
Yeah, or if you've had a history of selling drugs that you were caught on,
yes.
Or arson, of course.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Those things are deal breakers.
Yeah.
But when I started 22 years ago, I don't think I had a homeless person on my caseload for 5 or 6 years.
Oh, wow.
It was so.
And the majority of mine were homeless.
And I'm not going to say that we didn't have homeless folks 22 years ago in Muskegon County. We obviously did. But I came from Grand Rapids where literally I had to step over people to get into my own office. And
right.
It was common. So when I came here, I thought, this is a bit of a breath of fresh air, right? Muskegon,
right.
Way to go you. And there were still issues and concerns. I know that at one point Judy Kell had a huge grant and helped a lot of people get into housing.
Yes.
And And slowly, we take phone calls every day from people who are looking for houses, looking for a place to live.
It's hard because I hear the stories. They're doing all of the things that I'm telling them to do. They're calling True North. They're going to Mid-Michigan. They're calling their churches. They're reaching out. They're doing GoFundMes.
Yeah.
They are doing everything that they can think of. They're pawning their stuff.
Wow. Are there any cities in America that is going right with this whole housing crisis, mental health crisis? Everything is going the way it should go.
I've seen the occasional story. I don't know what cities, because it's also then a zoning issue, a taxing issue. Could you put a tiny house village up in our community here? Yeah, absolutely. You could do it probably no problem, and you could probably get buy-in from community members. You might be able to get grants, but then everybody's got to agree to it.
Exactly. Yeah, I see the city of Muskegon.
It's politics.
Somebody was trying to do a treatment center on, I think it was the east side, and the city commissioner voted against it because they didn't want it in their community. So we have problems here.
And we need to fix them, and we can't fix them if we're not working together. That's my biggest thing.
Wow. Before we go, this mental health crisis, is it mostly environmental that creates or circumstances that create mental health issues, or are people just born with mental health issues?
You know, I've said this before. If you look at and you understand trauma, the majority of our health problems
are
trauma-related. And not just mental health, by the way. Not just addiction and mental health or suicidal thinking.
Physical.
We're talking about lung disease, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, et cetera. Almost
metabolic
always
disease.
Yeah. Almost always you are going to be able to trace that back to trauma. Wow. We have a great deal of trauma in this community, and we know that from a deep research project we did in 2015 and 16 when we surveyed the community.
Right.
That connection between trauma and poor health outcomes is, I think, probably the bigger part of it. Are there mental health things you can have genetically? Absolutely.
Right.
Can you have a traumatic brain injury or, a series of concussions and be depressed or, yeah, absolutely you can have that. Schizophrenia is a weird one. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know why it happens. And that isn't related to trauma that we are aware of.
Right.
But almost everything else you can almost trace back to trauma, and then historical trauma, generational trauma, as well as the things we experience in our lifetimes here right now.
And the biopsychosocial component, I think it's all-encompassing. There's not just one thing that you can point at and say this is what's causing mental health concerns.
Okay, can you guys comment on the ACEs test and how can parents give it to their kids? That could be a starter. Starting off with the young, letting the parents do the test.
I'm of the opinion that every physician, every doctor, every nurse, whatever, you should be administering that to your patients when they come in at least once.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would urge caution with the ACEs thing with parents. It's because if you're asking children about their childhood trauma while they're children, that's going to be tricky, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but what you can do as a parent is you can read those. There's only 10 questions on there. You can read those 10 questions and you know what your child's going through, right? A parent in prison, has a parent beaten on another person in the home in front of you as their drug
poverty,
use.
Is their homelessness.
Right. And what it doesn't cover, of course, is still generational and historical trauma, and that stuff's in us as well.
Right.
So it doesn't really cover that. But when you start to add that up for your children, you can what I would say is for the parents, do your own.
Yes,
read
absolutely.
That.
Do your own ACEs test.
Yeah, and I would urge caution there too because it can be quite triggering. Now you're going to read stuff and go, man, this happened to me. Wow, I got another one here.
Well, we all need help. Everybody need to go group counseling.
But here's the good news.
Right.
Here's the good news. Once you know what that thing is that catapulted you on the path to poor health, and it's not your fault,
right?
Yeah.
It's what
right.
happened to you.
Right.
Now we can, and we don't have to relive our trauma. You don't have to go to a therapist and relive your trauma.
Don't have to dig it all up.
Right.
We can start to get better, and we can start to heal. And I feel like, look, our county, we were 83 out of 83 counties with the poorest health outcomes in Muskegon.
Right.
We have been 82, 80, 79, 78. And that's trauma, in my opinion, right?
Oh, yes.
And
absolutely.
Now the most recent one, we were like 69, and I thought, man, I don't want to celebrate 69. That's a long way down on the list.
Right.
But now we've got COVID, the just after the pandemic, everything we're experiencing. We got a bad economy. We got people not working. We got housing. We got food prices out of control.
Right.
These things impact people's mental health too. And something's got to give.
So what do you suggest if they take this ACEs test? Well, they don't give it to the kids, but they do it themselves. And they see, oh, my kid tested very high, five or above.
I think then what you need to do is you need to find the resilience quiz. There's a resilience. How resilient am I? You could have 4 out of those 10 ACEs. I could have 4 out of those 10. You could be traumatized, have poor health outcomes. I could be doing
perfect.
Great.
Right.
Because I have a different skill level or ability to handle. And we hear about resilience. We talk about it a lot. But here's the reality of what resilience is. Resilience isn't, I'll tell you what it isn't. It's not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. It's not muscling through a tough situation. It's your ability to bounce back from a traumatic situation when it has occurred to you.
Yeah.
And when you've been through it, and it's our ability to really absorb that, learn from it, grow, and hopefully not let us knock us down. And so this is a multifaceted thing, too. What we need to do is instill that ability to be resilient within our children. And there's a lot of steps involved in that. But Stephanie Williams is an expert in trauma.
Okay.
And
there
you should have her come
back. Definitely.
Yes.
Right. Anything you want to say before we go, Amy?
Thank you very much for having me here today. I appreciate it.
Before we go, Mike?
No. Good to see you, Paul. I think we just moved to Africa is what we do.
That's what we do, right?
I'll have to come visit.
Yeah.
Beautiful there.
I'm not coming.
You got to come to Amy. Yes,
okay,
I'm
right.
coming.
Yeah,
yeah,
all of us go. Let's go. Let's go. We got issues there, but it is, I think, that resilience is there.
We have that in Muskegon.
Yeah.
We're resilient as a community.
What's the suicide rate in Tanzania? What's the suicide rate in Ghana?
I mean, I asked my friends
Do you know?
It's low, very low.
It's low.
Right.
Very uncommon.
Because
I asked
they have
my
a
friend,
quality of life that's so much better than ours.
I asked my friends, do they know anybody have ever been murdered? They can't think of anybody. And I have a residency.
Wow.
I'm a dual citizen in Ghana.
Wow.
And I have a business in Tanzania. And I asked my people there. They don't know anybody that's been
wow.
murdered.
Wow.
Now
I can walk down the street and there are people that know people everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that alone...
And suicide and overdose.
And that's trauma. That's,
no family has not been touched by overdose or suicide.
No. Don't know anything about that. Not that. We got issues, but that's not one of the things we're worrying about. So.
Everybody needs to take care of themselves. Do good things for your brain. Do positive things. Don't have a steady diet of negativity. Change what you're watching on the TV, if
there
nothing else. Do the
and
little things.
If you
things.
Need help, reach out. We're
reach
here.
Out. Reach out.
Reach out to Help West and add some balance to your life. All right. Thank you, my friend. It's always good to talk
to
y'all.
Thank you.
We appreciate the opportunity.
Back to more music.